All right, Alexander, let's talk about what's going on with the European Union and with Northern Ireland. And this story has been escalating now for a couple of weeks, and it's going from bad to worse. And we're all waiting to see what Boris Johnson is going to do next. So give us some context as to what's going on between the Boris Johnson government, the European Union, Northern Ireland, Brexit agreement, Theresa May, all of these things, because we're kind of hitting a point where decisions are going to have to be made. Big decisions are going to have to be made.
Very, very, very big decisions. Now, can I just say that this is the way it's being reported? It's a battle between Britain and the EU. I think it is an internal political crisis, increasingly within Britain itself and within the government. In other words, what we're seeing is a factional battle in London, which is now taking place between the, if you like, pro-Remain, pro-EU establishment, and the Johnson cabinet is now starting to become increasingly strong. And to some extent, the Northern Irish issue is being connected to it. Now, Northern Ireland is a province of the United Kingdom. It is located on the island of Ireland, and it has a border with the Irish Republic. Now, the Irish Republic is part of the European Union, and it is part of the European single market, and it has a long-standing claim to Northern Ireland. It says that Northern Ireland is or should be part of the Irish Republic, because the objective of the Irish Republic is to reunite the whole of Ireland. It is also an objective that many people in Northern Ireland itself share. In other words, there is a strong Republican nationalist community in Northern Ireland, perhaps 40 or 45% of the population, which historically has always wished to join and unify with the South. There is also another community in Northern Ireland, which is Protestant and pro-British, and wants Northern Ireland to remain a part of the United Kingdom. And as those who are familiar with history know, this has been a long-standing issue between Britain and the Irish Republic ever since Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, became independent of Britain in the 1920s and in the 1960s and 1970s and through the 1980s, there was a prolonged violent conflict in Northern Ireland between the British military and the Irish Republican Army, which was fighting at that time to unify Northern Ireland with the Irish Republic in the south. Now, that is a long, tangled history, and it was all resolved through what was an agreement that was reached, the so-called Good Friday Agreement, which has created a situation whereby the Catholic nationalist pro-Republican community in the north shares power with the Protestant pro-British, pro-United Kingdom parties also in the north. So that was the agreement that was settled. And then along came Brexit, and the European Union said that the only way that this agreement could work, this power-sharing agreement in the north could work, would be if Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland continued to have an open border. And incredibly and bizarrely, the Prime Minister at the time, Theresa May, made an agreement with the EU. This is called the Irish backstop, whereby whatever agreement Britain made with the EU, that open border between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland would be preserved. And of course, what that meant was that Britain could not leave the European single market, because if it did leave the European single market, then there would be a hard border created on EU insistence between the Irish Republic and Northern Ireland, and that would supposedly undermine the Good Friday Agreement, the peace agreement which had brought peace to Northern Ireland. It was a transparent device to keep Britain within the European single market. Then along comes Boris Johnson. He replaces Theresa May. He reaches an agreement with Emmanuel Macron. And that agreement is that Britain, that is to say England, Scotland and Wales, will leave the European single market. But instead of there being a regulatory border between Britain and the EU along the Irish border, the inter-Irish border, the border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic, there would be a border, a regulatory border in the Irish Sea, along the Irish Sea. So Northern Ireland would remain within the EU single market, but the rest of Britain would not. Now, that was controversial and unpopular, both in Britain and in Northern Ireland, especially amongst the Protestant majority, which is pro-British in Northern Ireland. And it's become increasingly clear over the last few months that it is unworkable because it means that goods and services cannot move across the Irish Sea from the British mainland to Northern Ireland without passing through EU regulatory restrictions, and that is starting to create increasing problems for the Northern Irish economy. So Boris Johnson has come along and has told the EU this is unacceptable, it is unsustainable, you cannot create customs barriers within a country, and it is besides a major infringement of British sovereignty. We have to find some way of negotiating round it. The EU says, no, we've got to stick by the agreement that we have. It's got to be observed to the last punctuation mark, the last comma and full stop. And what Boris Johnson is now saying is that if you persist with this attitude, then I will invoke my right, which is, by the way, contained within the withdrawal agreement, to unilaterally cancel this agreement entirely, at which point Northern Ireland becomes once again a full economic part of the United Kingdom and leaves the European single market. Now, that is the story. And there is nothing to prevent Boris Johnson doing that, except two factors. One, obviously, is the objections of the EU. Well, that doesn't really affect him. But the other factors are, firstly, that the Biden administration has made it very clear that it would oppose such a step because basically it wants to keep Britain tied to the EU. And of course, the other thing that's happening is that there is a faction within the government and within Parliament and within the Conservative Party and within the civil service and within the business community that is also using this issue to try to undermine Johnson, ultimately to bring him down, to replace him with a more emollient figure like Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, who would leave things as they are and then presumably at some point prepare the ground to bring Britain back into the European single market. And the British Labour Party, its finance spokesman, has just announced that that is the policy that the British Labour Party wants to follow. It wants Britain basically to re-enter the European single market. So that's the battle. It's a battle that's taking place within London. On the one hand is Johnson and the Brexiteers. On the other side, it's the EU, it's the US, or at least the Biden administration, and it is this very, very powerful faction, the Remainer faction in London, which has never gone away. That's a long explanation of a tangled and complex subject, but I hope it's clear what's going on.
Well, it's complex if Boris wants to make it complex. If he doesn't, then he Absolutely. Could just tell the EU to pound sand and do what he thinks is right for the people yeah. of Great Britain. Why doesn't he just do
That's
that?
It. Well, that's exactly what he should do, and I hope that that is exactly what he will do. But whether he will or not, you can never completely be sure with someone like Boris Johnson. I mean, he's not a person who always stays the course on things, and that's putting it mildly. I think he probably will on this occasion, even though he has docked and weaved and shown a reluctance to take the necessary step, because he's somebody who actually dislikes confrontations. He dislikes going up against powerful factions within his own cabinet and within the government. And he dislikes putting himself in a position where Rishi Sunak's position, and I'm sure it is Rishi Sunak now, might become stronger within the government if things turn out wrong. So I think he will do it in the end, because his political future is so tied up with it. But at the moment, he's hesitating.
Yeah, if he doesn't do it, then I imagine his government may actually fall. And the UK risks sliding back into the EU's orbit. I mean, it seems like there's logical way forward for this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, I don't think the government will fall, but I think there will be a coup within the government. He will cease to be Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Exactly. He ceases to be Prime Minister. Someone, and at the moment, it's almost certain to be Rishi Sunak, takes over. And Rishi Sunak gradually starts the process of reintegrating Britain into the European single market and drawing Britain back into the EU. So that's what he risks. And with it, Johnson's political legacy, his reputation, and of course his period as Prime Minister is brought to an early and inglorious close. I think he understands that. But as I said, he's always somebody who hesitates before he strikes and dithers and hesitates for very long. But you're absolutely right. It's clear what he has to do. Anyway, there's been a lot of discussion and friction about this. He's chief negotiator with the EU, a man called Lord Frost, who's very much a hardline Brexiter, has made it very clear that he wants Britain to take a strong line on this issue. He appears to have Johnson's backing at the moment, but Johnson at the moment is hesitating to actually take the plunge and to announce that Britain will make this unilateral step if it has to. But that's Johnson, and he's done this before. He's hesitated for a while, and then he moves, and he moves suddenly and fast. And as a result, people are often taken by surprise, and he comes out the winner from these kind of tangles after a while. It's important not to underestimate Johnson's political skills, which remain very real. We shall see what happens.
What are the implications for the UK if Johnson does make this unilateral move? I mean, is there legal implications, sanctions from the European Union? He is, strictly speaking, he is breaking an agreement.
Well, arguably he's not actually, because Article 16 of the withdrawal agreement actually gives the British government the authority to take unilateral measures if they have to, if the necessity requires it. So he can always argue that. Of course, the EU would deny that. Well, the EU, actually, this is where I think it's an important point, because the EU is talking about imposing tariffs, imposing sanctions, imposing all sorts of things like that. I think that's a bluff. And I say why? Because the trade balance between Britain and the EU still remains very much in the EU's favour. So if they started to impose those kind of tariffs and sanctions on Britain, yes, Britain might have a difficult couple of months, but it would adjust. Economies, big economies, do. But the EU, European businesses, German car companies and all the rest would be the ones which ultimately, I think, would suffer most. They would lose what is for them one of their biggest export markets. I mean, Angela Merkel and her entourage apparently have routinely referred to Britain as Treasure Island, because Germany exports so many things to Britain. And, you know, do they really want to see all that trade curtailed? So I personally think if Johnson holds his nerve and takes the decision, which I think is the only one logically that he must take, then I think the EU threats will come to seem actually very little. A far bigger problem but I doubt that it will happen immediately. But a far bigger concern that a British government might have is that the EU, having said that Northern Ireland must remain within the EU single market in order for there to be peace there, would then possibly, in order to prove that true, prove that prophecy true, might start to look for ways to create trouble in Northern Ireland itself. We've seen that happen in so many places now, in Ukraine, in the Balkans. Who knows? They might do that in the EU, in Northern Ireland too. Utterly reckless and irresponsible if they did it. But to be straightforward about it, I wouldn't put anything past those people.
Yeah, the EU, they're treacherous. And they will do that. They have a history of instigating regime change for their benefit. So, okay, the EU, these guys are we know how they operate. I'll leave it there. We know how they operate. Boris Johnson knows how they operate. You answered my question. If there's a legal argument for him to stand on as well, because I was thinking he should do it, but maybe, you know, he's breaking an agreement and legally there may be some consequences. But listening to you, it sounds that even legally he has actually good footing to stand on. So this is really just Boris, in my opinion, this is Boris just not wanting to piss off the elites of London, the globalist elites of London, and some people in his party that you know don't want that want to stay close with the European Union because they're making a ton of money. Even the Ireland, the Northern Ireland question that you were talking about, could, with the right diplomacy and firming things up between Westminster and 10 Downing Street and the parties in Ireland and Northern Ireland, just, you know, getting the right diplomacy in place, he could also prevent the EU from causing trouble there as well. I mean, if he really wanted to, he could strategize and block off that road. So this is just him afraid of his elite buddies.
Absolutely, because can I just make a further point? I mean, all of these ideas talk about sanctions, all about this talk of creating trouble in Northern Ireland. Think how both of those things would impact on the most vulnerable country in this whole scenario, which is, of course, not Britain. It is the Republic of Ireland. The Republic of Ireland does not want to see violence return to Ireland, the island of Ireland, because that will overspill into the Irish Republic itself, as it did during the period of the so-called Troubles there, the time when the British were fighting the Irish Republican Army. They don't want that. And they too don't want hard borders between Britain and Ireland, because it is so economically damaging for them too. So in such a situation, should such a scenario arise, the Irish Republic, if it has any sense, the government there, will actually, in my opinion, work together with Britain, both to keep the situation in Northern Ireland stable and to keep the EU from pushing forward with these draconian sanctions that people have been talking about. In my opinion, all of this is bluff. I think the reason why Boris Johnson is nervous of taking this step is twofold. Firstly, you're absolutely right. He is very nervous of the very powerful pro-Remain establishment faction within Britain itself, in London. But the other thing that I think makes him very nervous is the change in administration in the United States. Previously, whilst Donald Trump was president, he had a strong ally. Now that Joe Biden is president, he has, with the Democrats, a faction in power in Washington that is deeply hostile to the whole British experiment of taking Britain out of the EU and to Boris Johnson personally. And what he doesn't want is the conservative faction that opposes him to start combining with the Democrats in the United States and to start working with the various parts of the British deep state, which are very connected with the US deep state, in a way that tries to undermine his premiership. So I think this is really what the problem is. I think you would have seen Johnson taking a much stronger line if there hadn't been that change in administrations in Washington in January. So I think if you really want to understand what has created this situation, it is that more than anything else.
Yeah. The UK deep state. Well, you know.
Absolutely.
The whole world was suffering after those US elections, yeah. The whole world. Anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, it certainly changed everything. And bear in mind, I mean, I've been talking for some time that there's been this sort of steady tick up of plots against Johnson, issues about, you know, his wallpaper and, you know, the fact that he put expensive wallpaper, that was one thing, but all kinds of other things. Talk about his failure to carry out an effective pandemic response. All of this has begun to gain weight and traction. Firstly, as the results of the election in the United States began to trickle out. And then, of course, it's become a flood since the change of administrations in Washington. It has changed the political weather here. And given the enormous influence the United States has in Britain, I think you don't really have to look very far to see some explanations of what is going on. If Donald Trump was still president, we would not be in the situation in Britain that we are now.
Yeah, that I agree with. That I agree with. But, you know, it's interesting. Maybe the real people that Johnson needs to look at is the U.S. and the deep state, the Biden administration. Maybe that's his real problem right there. And he should start, you know, taking measures to broaden out the U.K.'s profile in the world.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, maybe look past the special relationship that they always build up. Okay, you have a special relationship, but I mean, you can make other special relationships with other countries, can't you?
Well, of course you can. And I mean, you know, at the same time, I mean, it's, as I said, my own personal view is that all of these threats coming out of Brussels for sanctions, for tariffs, for bringing legal cases against Britain to the European Court of Justice, for imposing hard borders on Northern Ireland. It's important to stress, by the way, it's the EU that says if Northern Ireland leaves the single market, they will impose this hard barrier. It's not the British who's saying that. It's the EU who's saying that. I think all of this is bluff. And I think any attempt to create trouble in Northern Ireland, though, as I said, I don't put it past those people at all, I think that would go down very badly in Dublin. So I don't think that's going to happen either. It's a question of Boris finding the courage to call this bluff, because bluff it is. And far from it weakening his position as Prime Minister, if he does it, I think, on the contrary, it will put all the various plotters in Washington, in London, and in Brussels on the black foot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that from the EU side, it's all bluff. Interestingly, everything that the EU is saying about Northern Ireland is pretty much the same stuff they said about Ukraine. And then they ramped up the coup.
Absolutely.
In Ukraine and the regime change in Ukraine. So it is troubling that they're saying these things about Northern Ireland, because it is exactly what they were saying in the end of 2013, beginning of 2014. And we all know what happened there. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But it's the same tricks that they're up to. But real quick, the EU doesn't worry me. I think you spelled it out. The U.S., the deep state, the Biden White House, and I don't mean Biden, the person. We said it in a live yesterday,
absolutely.
Not Biden. Yeah. The Biden machinery. That's what worries me, and that's probably what worries Johnson. It's clear
absolutely.
As day.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, regime change in London. Who'd have thought it? But it's not impossible. It does happen. It would happen in a very elegant British way. I mean, you know, we'd find that there would be some problem created. There would then be a vote of Conservative MPs. They would vote that, you know, Johnson shouldn't be their leader anymore because this problem is so enormous. Then there'd be a vote. It would be thrown open to the membership. Sunak would be built up by the media. the membership would vote soon. Exactly. Sunak would be elected. I mean, he's been spoken of for about a year now as this tremendous genius, economic genius. And then, as I said, he'd become prime minister. And then, you know, that's how it would be done. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have crowds on the streets and people storming parliament and things of that kind, but you'd have all of these things. And of course, you'd have court decisions. You'd have media stories, as he said, more scandals, more revelations on television. That's the way it's done here.
Yeah, what a tough situation. Boy, did that election change everything. All right, we'll leave it there, guys. Go to our locals, the Duran. Locals.com, and check us out on Super U, guys. Sensor-proof video platform, Super U. BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, and you'll find us there as well. Take care.